Hey, I'm going to ask you a question. How's your sock drawer looking? Is it scary? Maybe it's time for a spring cleaning and refresh. Bombas just dropped a bunch of absurdly soft new socks, tees, and underwear to help you get that drawer in a better place while doing a little bit of good. Look, when I open up my sock drawer and I see a clean pair of Bombas sitting on top, not only do my feet sort of jump for joy, but like I can't wait to get them on my feet because I know they're going to be cozy. I know they're going to be the best socks in the house, and I know that they're going to keep me going all day long. They've got some great details that have been obsessed over, including the honeycomb arch support, which I love, anti-blister tabs, which I also love. What that is, it's a little bit of the heel that goes up a little, just a smidge higher, like in a whatever the perfect amount higher is, that's how high it goes. Bombas has figured this out. And they've got cushioned footbeds that feel like little pillows on your feet, not to mention the buttery soft tees and underwear with no itchy tags. Oh, I hate an itchy tag. And Bombas is like, don't worry about it. We do too. And look, the best thing about Bombas is that when you purchase an item, Bombas donates an item. That's right. Every time you buy their socks, tees, or underwear, you're also donating essential clothing to someone facing homelessness. To date, Bombas has donated over 100 million clothing items and counting. I mean, Bombas can make returns easy as well. I don't know why you'd return anything because what? But they do have a 100% happiness guarantee. So if the dryer or your dog eats a sock, or if you're unhappy with your purchase for virtually any reason, they'll do whatever they can to replace it and make it right. Bombas has a spring collection out right now. That means new colors and new fun. That's right. They have garden party socks that bring the party to your feet. They got stripes. They got florals. They've got vintagey colored rib socks. You know, those like, you know, stripes on the top of it. It's like, oh, hey, look at me. I'm a vintage soccer player or track person. They've got those too. And they even have a new pointelle sock with a frilly cuff. You know, if for all you frill seekers out there, folks, all I'm saying is you heard me talk about Bombas for years now. I don't know why you haven't done anything about it. Get comfy this spring and give back with Bombas. Head over to bombas.com/adventure and use the code adventure for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/adventure. Use the code adventure at checkout. Trust me, your feet will thank you. Well, go, baby, go, baby. Honey, we're back. It's an excellent adventure. It's an excellent week. We have had a time.
What episode is this?
This is 42, I think, or 3. I'm not sure.
We sort of lost the thread.
Well, I double numbered, even though I honestly think it was when you were in charge of the title one week.
Okay.
I double numbered the podcast, I think between 39 and 40. So there were two episode 40s, I think. But I have since fixed it in the feed.
Right.
So some of you may have downloaded the episode already, and then your library looks very confused as to, did I miss an
episode?
Sorry
to confuse your library.
You didn't miss an episode.
Nope.
I just messed up.
Whatever. It happens.
So we're here. We are fresh off of some fun, and boy, oh boy, honey.
It has been a week.
Mm-hmm. I can't believe that was last week. It feels like 9 months ago.
Yeah, because a million hugely annoying things happened.
It was a series of annoying events that only we could have predicted.
You know what? I was telling someone, I was telling my friend about what happened today on the phone, and I was like, if someone told me this story, like in the back of my mind, I would like maybe not totally believe them.
Really?
Because it seems so crazy. Like, how could all of this stuff happen? You know what I mean?
I mean, I know what happened, and I don't find it that crazy.
I still cannot believe that. I kind of can't believe that it happened.
Yeah.
Should we do business up top, or should we get right into it?
Let's get the business out of the way. Okay. Maybe people actually listen to the business.
It's the business.
Everybody's favorite part of the podcast, business. You guys got a bonus episode. Email us your questions with the subject of bonus episode. That's the subject line. If you email us previously and we didn't get to it, feel free to email us again. Bump it to the top, guys. Pinging you on this, you could write. classic thing for people to write when they're...
Just say circling back on the bonus episode.
Yeah, circling back on the bonus episode question. Dory would like to thank you all for leaving Amazon reviews. And once again, please, if you could find it in your heart, you have a Goodreads account or you're bored and you want to make one. You're at work right now and you're just listening to the podcast while some files are processing or something, you can go ahead and make a Goodreads account. I'm going to turn off my phone, which is getting a phone call right now. I knew that was coming. The cell stuff was going nuts.
I hear
it. And it's gone. Officially.
Okay.
Back to Goodreads.
Is your phone off?
It's in airplane mode.
Okay, cool.
If you are not doing anything, make a Goodreads account. And leave a review of Dori Shafrir's groundbreaking new novel, Startup, a novel. Or if you don't feel like writing a review, just like the nice reviews. It'll help Dory not be so sad. Startup is available as an ebook in the UK, Australia, South Africa, New Zealand. Hardcover will be available at the end of August. Anything to say about that, honey?
If you live in one of those countries, please buy my book. It's also obviously available, still available in the US and Canada.
Yes. Facebook group. Guys, the Facebook group has been popping off. Lots of activity on there. A lot of stories. A lot of fascinating things. Stuff we're not even... You know, when people post on the Facebook group, you know, sometimes there's interesting things. I'm like, should we talk about this on the podcast? And the door, you're like, no. The Facebook group is for the Facebook group, and it's for the people who are there to read and support each other, help each other out. That is facebook.com/groups/excellentadventure. Head over there, see what we're talking about. A lot of activity.
Now, all that being said,
yes,
I did reach out to someone this week and ask if we could use her post on the podcast.
There you go. We would never do it without asking, apparently.
Yep. She said yes. So
great.
We have that to look forward to.
If you feel the need to find out more about this podcast, you can go to excellentadventure.com. If you even feel a greater need to support the podcast, you can also do that at excellentadventure.com. And, of course, you can email us at doryandmatt@gmail.com and mattanddory@gmail.com. The phone number is 413-461-BABY, and I feel like a lot of you...
you can also even email us through the website.
That's true. You can go to the website, excellentadventure.com, and email us.
Yep.
But 413-461-BABY, I was going to say, a lot of you probably already know that because we got some voicemails this week.
We sure did.
All right. Back to the continuing saga of Dori Shafrir's uterus.
Oh, my God. So, okay. So, as everyone knows,
yeah,
last week... We recorded on Friday.
We did.
And we were gearing up for my surgery on Monday.
We recorded on Friday.
We were on the East Coast.
That's right. Okay. So. Yep.
And.
That feels like 2 months ago.
It does. My surgery was at noon. I had to be at my clinic at 9:30 for a pre-op appointment at 10.
Yeah. So, you know, when you're having 9:30 pre-op appointment, or rather 10 o'clock pre-op appointment, and you're having surgery, what does that mean for the person having surgery?
It means you can't eat or drink anything.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Someone in the Facebook group was like, psst, I'm a nurse, and you can actually have water and black coffee up to 2 hours before the surgery, but don't tell anyone.
You just told everyone.
Oh, shit.
And that was in the Facebook group.
Yeah.
We have a rule.
I know. I'm sorry. But look, you can't eat anything. You can't put anything in your coffee. But up to 2 hours before your surgery, it turns out you actually can have a sip of water and some black coffee.
You know who took advantage of that?
Dori Shafrir, because my surgery wasn't until noon. Look, if your surgery is at 7 a.m., like, you probably don't need to take advantage of this.
Right.
And you probably won't be able to because you're not up. But your surgery's at noon and you have this appointment and you're just like, oh, my God, I'm so thirsty. I need some caffeine. That's what I was thinking.
Yes.
But when I turned on the coffee maker, Matt was like, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
So we go to the pre-op appointment. You know what I thought was interesting? It was that Dr. March like took my vitals. He like took my blood pressure.
Yeah.
Like he wasn't too like I loved that. He wasn't too like precious. He wasn't like, I'm the doctor. I don't like do these mundane tasks. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Because I feel like usually if you go to the doctor, like those are the things that the nurse does or the physician's assistant or the whoever, like, and then the doctor waltzes in and is like, I'm the doctor.
That's exactly what they do all yeah. the time.
But Dr. Marge was like, hey, and then I'll take your blood pressure and then mm-hmm. I'll look in your uterus. No, he was looking at my cervix
uh-huh.
for some reason. I think he wanted to make sure it wasn't infected or something. I don't know.
You know, I think he just had to make sure the strike zone was in working order.
Stop trying to make the strike zone happen.
I think it's happening.
It's not catching happening. Fire. It's not happening on this podcast.
All over the Facebook group, people are just talking about the strike zone.
No, they're not. Which, you know, you don't pop into the Facebook group that often. So
that's true. I'm in fairness to me, I'm not on Facebook ever.
That's true. Yeah. More
looks
power
like
to
I
you.
Looks like I post, but it's just because back when you could tie your Twitter to your Facebook, I turned that on.
Oh, why don't you unturn that on?
Because then I would have no Facebook presence whatsoever.
Well, isn't that what you want?
Wouldn't be able to weed out who my weird relatives are.
Oh, I see.
Based on what they comment on posts.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I see. Anyway, so then we drove over to the surgery center, and we were doing the surgery at the surgery center because they take my insurance.
Was that why? I thought yes. It was because the OR at...
No, it was because they take my insurance.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. So I thought your phone was on airplane mode.
How did
mode.
That happen? No, I literally was like, how did that happen?
It's connected to your computer.
Oh.
That's how.
I was very confused by that situation. I got a message on my wrist and I was so dumbfounded.
Yeah. So anyway, no, we were doing it at the surgery center because they took my insurance. The only person I was going to have to pay out of pocket was Dr. March, but everyone else, like the anesthesiologist, the operating room, yeah. the whole thing was going to be covered by insurance. That was why we were doing it at the surgery center.
Instead I didn't realize
having
that.
To pay out of pocket at
I, for some reason, thought CFP. It was like the facilities weren't there at CFP for that no. kind of surgery.
No, they have all the facilities
there. Oh, my
there.
God.
Yeah.
Wish I'd known that. Wow. Might have been worth it.
Well, in retrospect... Yes, it would have been. So, okay, we drive over to the surgery center. So far, everything's fine.
Also, this worked out because we weren't back to work until Tuesday.
Well, you weren't back to work until Tuesday.
When I say we, I always mean me.
Yeah.
So I didn't have to take any time off work or anything like that.
Yeah, it was great.
It was somehow convenient. And it was like, oh my God, we don't have to be there till 9:30. We can actually leave at like... 8:30 or something.
Yeah, we don't have to get up at the crack of dawn.
It was great. Beau could get a normal walk.
Beau could get a normal walk. Yeah, all of those things. So we get over to the surgery center. We find street parking somehow. Then we get to the waiting room, and Matt's like, it's really hot in here. And at that point, I'm like really hungry and thirsty. And I was just like, if it's too hot for you, you can wait outside.
Yeah,
and I
she
got like
was
really.
Not,
I was like, I was at that point. I was getting very like agitated.
But I felt like it was unreasonably hot in the lobby or the waiting room of the surgery center, and she did snap at me and say that you always complain. Which those of you on the podcast who are listening, you get it. I do always complain,
mm-hmm.
but I felt like I had a good reason to complain. Anyway, it was hot.
It was hot.
So. I just said what I said. Dory said that.
I checked
I
in.
Like,
I filled out all the paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
They're just like, okay, have a seat. Wait. We're sitting there. It's hot. Then like probably like 40 minutes go by.
Mm-hmm.
And they finally are like, okay, we're going to take you back. The nurse like comes out and she's like, so I'm going to take you back and I'm going to have you fill out some more paperwork and take your vital signs. But just so you know, our air conditioning's broken and it broke this morning. We canceled all of our surgeries this morning and it's supposed to be fixed by noon. So we didn't cancel our afternoon surgeries. And I'm like, uh-huh. And then she's like, so, you know, if they can't fix the AC, we can't we can't use the OR. There's no AC. And I'm like, okay. And then she's like, so we're not going to be able to do the surgery today.
Was that the first annoying thing when it was hot, or was there, like a little kerfuffle up at the desk?
No.
Okay.
And so I was like, okay, well, I don't think I'm going to get into my hospital gown if there's a chance we might not do the surgery today.
Right.
So, and I'm just like, what? And then I'm like, oh, Matt was right. It is hot in here.
Yeah.
And then blah, 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 vital signs, paperwork, come back out to the lobby. A few more minutes go by. A different nurse comes up the elevator and like, I hear her say to another person, it's not going to be fixed today. They don't have this part.
Yeah, they brought the wrong part with them.
Yeah.
Classic air conditioning
classic
repair situation.
HVAC situation. So I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Like, yeah. I'm not going to do the surgery today. Also, we were in a bit of a time crunch because I knew Dr. March was going out of town.
Yes.
For like at least a week. And later in the week. And I was just like, wait, what? I'm not going to do my surgery today because the air conditioning's broken? Like, how is this a thing? Oh, hello, Bo. Oh, Bo, stop licking the mic. That's disgusting.
Bo, say hello.
Ew. Bo.
Hi, Bo. Hi, Bo.
Matt is making out with Bo right now.
Bo is making out with me. Bo, say hi. Say hi.
You made him. You already made him say hi.
Say hi, Bo.
Okay, you made him say hi.
Use your voice, Bo.
He's ew. Maybe he thinks this is microphone toy.
Bo just got dead. He was dead all day.
This is what he does. This is
all
what Bo does.
Day. We went on a nice long walk this afternoon. What else happened? So I was recording a podcast in my office, and Dory had left, and we have a back gate that is manual, and Dory opened the gate and left. Meanwhile, the door to the outside was open, and Bo was so lazy that he did not go outside, luckily, and run out of the yard. But that's how lazy he was. The door was open. He had every opportunity to get up and go, and he just slept. And now, of course, we're recording a podcast, and he's amped up.
Well, now he just went and laid down.
He gets it. He knows what podcasting is.
Oh, he does.
I think so.
I mean, the microphone is his favorite toy.
He's been on many podcasts.
That's true.
So.
So anyway.
Time crunch. So March isn't leaving town.
And I'm like, this cannot be happening. But mm-hmm. It was happening.
It was indeed.
So I call CFP.
Yes.
And I'm like, because Dr. March hadn't gotten there yet.
True.
And I was like, so they're not going to do the surgery today. I don't think they had called him. They didn't call me to even say that this was a possibility.
Right.
Like, I just thought that was so crazy.
It was pretty crazy.
You know, they sent me today, I got an email from them, please fill out this survey.
Oh boy.
And I was like, oh, here we go. Look, when all the questions about the nurses and all that stuff, I said, everything was fabulous. They were wonderful. I was treated very well. Everything having to do with the AC.
Yeah.
I was like.
And the AC portion of the survey.
Sure. And when they said, would you recommend the surgery center to friends and relatives? And I was like, nope.
Uh-huh.
And you better enter me in that drawing for the $100 Amazon gift card. So they are like, finally, they're like, okay, we're rescheduling you for Thursday at 7 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay. But I was like, isn't Dr. March going to be away? And the nurse is like, the nurse at CFP is like, no, like he said that was great. He's going to leave town right after that. And I'm like, okay. Great. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. That's annoying, but at least it's rescheduled and it's at 7 a.m., which is like more convenient than noon.
Yeah.
And like, whatever. And Matt will just have to take time off and deal and it'll be fine, whatever. Yeah. So, okay. So I get, then I'm like, I'm fucking starving. So Matt was like, why don't we just go across the street to Whole Foods? And I was like, I don't want Whole Foods.
Yeah, she did not want Whole Foods.
Well, you know what it was? It was, excuse me. Sorry, I'm choking to death.
It's okay, honey. You can choke to death as long as you live.
Okay, so you know what it was? I just started envisioning walking into Whole Foods and being confronted with a million choices of things to eat.
Yeah, I was thinking, man, I'm on that diet now. Don't know where I want to start. I have to, you know, starting today, that day being Monday. And I was like, well, Whole Foods, I can at least pretty easily find something to eat. So seems like a reasonable situation.
But
it was very unreasonable.
No, I did not want
a very unreasonable Dory Shafrir.
But I had reason to be unreasonable.
That's true.
I was like, I just want to go to Starbucks.
Yes, you had Starbucks on the brain.
I did. Just because I was like, okay, we can go in. I know what I'll get.
Uh-huh.
I'll eat it and we can leave and I can go home.
Yep.
And then I like messaged my manager over Slack and I was like, this is crazy, but this is what happened today. And so now I have to take Thursday off. And she was like, whoa, that's crazy.
Yeah.
So then Tuesday rolls around.
Well, let's also say that we, two of us, proceeded to order our lunch at Starbucks and I paid $38 for two people at Starbucks.
I thought you paid $30.
Something like it was in the 30s.
Yeah.
It was crazy. I've never seen such a bill for two people at Starbucks.
Well, you got two orders of sous vide egg bites.
Egg white bites. They're the best things in the world.
And I got one order of bacon Gruyere sous vide egg bites.
Yes.
So right there we're at like $15.
Yes. Then
you get your venti iced Americano.
No. Then you got more food.
Oh, yeah. I got the Bantam Bagel Bites.
Yeah.
I was like, give me those Bantam Bagel Bites.
Yeah. Shark Tank.
Which are delicious, by the way.
They're fantastic. I've had them before, yeah.
They're very good. Because I was like, I deserve them. Give me all the carbs.
Yeah. And you did deserve them, honey.
Thank you.
After what you'd been through.
Thank you. So then Tuesday rolls around.
And I'm like, ugh, Tuesday. Anyway.
And you were home when I got the call. So it must have been
I think it was in the morning.
Was it in the morning?
Yeah.
Okay. So I get a call from CFP, different nurse. She's like, just calling to confirm everything's like.
It was definitely in the morning because I went to poker Tuesday night.
Okay. Like calling to confirm everything's like, you know, you're ready to go for your surgery tomorrow. And I'm like, wait, what? Tomorrow? I thought it was Thursday. She's like, oh no, Dr. March is going to be out of town Thursday. And I was like, oh, that's what I thought. Like, I knew this.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. She's like, no, it's definitely tomorrow, 7 a.m. I'm like, okay. So I say to Matt, surgery's tomorrow. You know, message my manager again, switching it to Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
I've been very open with my manager about all of this. I'm like, is this too much information? And she was like, no. And so we get up at 5 on Wednesday. We're like, okay, we can walk Bo at 5 and then we'll be home by like 9:30. So he'll be fine. We'll just walk him again when we get home. And then Mary Jane was coming at 1.
He's very optimistic. Yes.
He didn't poop.
He did not poop. He had a quick walk up and down the block at about 5:15 in the morning.
I think he was very sleepy and confused.
Very, very confused. But he's confused by dark.
Yeah.
Like when we're going out for a walk and it's dark in the morning.
Yeah.
He's like, what is happening?
Yeah.
And then when we put him inside and then left, he was extra confused.
He was like, why are they leaving?
Yeah.
So... because I'd already done the pre-op exam on Monday, I didn't have to do another pre-op exam. So we went straight to the surgery center and I check in and I go and sit down and then I get called back up to the desk and the lady's like, your surgery is tomorrow.
Mm.
And I'm like, wait a second. What are you talking about? She's like, oh no, you're on the schedule for tomorrow. You're not having your surgery today. And I was like, Dr. March is out of town tomorrow. There's no way he can do the surgery tomorrow because he's not here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here right now.
Yeah.
I didn't do the surgery Monday because your air conditioning broke.
Also true.
The woman at the front desk was this. It was a different woman. She was very. This woman was very nice, and was like, oh, this is fucked up.
Yeah, and also, you know, it was crazy because I was like, it's fucking. What time was it?
Six o'clock in the morning.
6 o'clock in the morning, and she's like, I'll call California. I'll call CFP, but I don't think they're open.
But I knew they had a 24-hour on-call person, and I also knew, because we had had this conversation with Dr. March, I knew that he leaves his house at 4:30 in the morning and that he gets to CFP at 5. So I was like, oh, he's already been there for like an hour. Like, he's there. So I was like, he can be paged. What is that noise?
It's people yelling. Oh. Outside.
Should we shut that door?
Sure.
Okay.
I guess I'm doing that.
I can do it.
No, I'll do it. You keep talking. You're telling the story.
Can you also turn off the TV? It's very distracting. Thank you. So call CFP. I try to explain the situation to the on-call nurse. And granted, it's an unusual situation. But she grasped it, and I was like, I just need you to get Dr. March like on the phone. And so she's like, okay, he's going to call you back. So he calls me back a couple minutes later, and he's like, I don't know who's angrier, me or you. And I was like, well, I'm pretty angry. Like, what is happening? And he was like, I don't know who messed up. I'm calling the head of the surgery center. He was very angry.
Yeah, at 6 o'clock in the morning.
And then he was like, don't leave. Stay there.
Yeah.
I'm going to call you back. And I'm like, okay.
Which is good that it was Dory getting surgery. Because if it was me, I would have already had a spinach feta wrap in my mouth by this point. I would have been like, well, fuck it. I'm not having surgery, so I'm going to eat.
You know, it's interesting. I had this conversation with my therapist. Mm-hmm. And I was telling her everything that had happened and how I felt like the universe was against me this week. And she was like, you know, but think about it. Like you knew what to do. Like, you called, you made it happen that again. Like, you made it happen. Mm-hmm. You advocated for yourself. She was like, not everyone would have done that. I was like, you're right.
I mean, what's the other option? Waiting till he comes back from the thing?
Yeah.
And then having to get on some other fucking cycle again?
Yeah.
It's yeah. Insane.
So he calls me back and he's like, okay, they're going to fit you in at 9:45 today. At this point, it's 6:45.
Yeah. Oh, like, God, I forgot about this period of time.
Yes.
Where we...
So then I go back up to the desk and I'm like, they said I could do it at 9:45. And they're like, oh, okay. Yeah, I see you're already on the schedule. And they're like, you can leave and come back. Just come back at 8:30. And I'm like, okay, we're in Santa Monica.
Yeah.
Like, it's rush hour at this point.
Right. Because there's like a little tiny bit of you that's like, maybe I can get home, give Bo a walk.
Right.
But... It would have been absolutely impossible to get back in time.
So I'm like, great, we have 2 hours to kill. Mm-hmm. And I can't eat or drink anything. So back to Starbucks we went.
Yep.
But I was like, Matt, you need to eat and drink something. Matt, in solidarity, hadn't eaten or drank anything. But I was like, this is ridiculous. You must eat and drink something. So we went to Starbucks. I had a sip of his iced Americano because it was more than 2 hours before the surgery.
And it was clear liquid, guys. I drink coffee and Americano's black. Yeah. So
I was like, no, this isn't. I had a sip of water, too.
Yeah.
I
proceeded to have sous vide egg white bites again.
Yep.
Which I've had nearly every day since Monday.
You're doing like a supersize me thing, but with Starbucks.
Yes, but with Starbucks.
So we hung out in the Starbucks for like almost 2 hours and then finally just went back and they did the surgery.
Yeah.
Had a kind of like hunky anesthesiologist.
Yeah, I could see that. Sure.
At one point also also on Monday,
yeah,
I had bandages on both of my arms because when I went to get my blood taken, they hadn't been able to get it out of my first arm.
Yeah.
Because when you're dehydrated, it's harder to get your blood out. Mm-hmm. So when you're like preparing for surgery and you don't have anything to drink, it's like extra hard. And I already have small veins. And Dr. March was like, "What happened?" And I told him. And then we went into the whole thing about how, like, every time I get anesthesia, they can never get the IV in, blah, 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 blah. We always have to, the nurses always try like 5 times. And then finally the anesthesiologist has to do it. And he was like, "Okay, well, you know, just go straight to the anesthesiologist." I was like, "Totally." And then I'm like sitting there and I say to the nurse, "Look, I have really small veins. It's really hard to get the IV in. I think I'd rather just wait for the anesthesiologist." What's up?
Bo's licking his butt.
Of course he is.
Bo, relax.
And she was like kind of offended, which I get. She was like, "Well, I put in more IVs than the anesthesiologist." And I was like, "Okay, fair." Yep. And then she was like, she like looks at my veins and she's like, "Oh, you do have small veins." She's like, "Oh, give me one try." And she was like, "I'll do it in one try." I was like, "Okay, you get one try." And she didn't do it.
Yep.
And I have a really nice bruise right now on my arm from where she tried to put it in.
Yep, I can see the vein. I see the bruise.
Yep. And she was like, "Oh." Like, she was very confident that she was going to get it in, and she did not. And then the anesthesiologist got it in one try on my hand. He'd used a double tourniquet.
Yeah. Really pump those veins up.
Yeah, and he was like, "This is the trick you have to use." I was like, "All right."
And it worked.
It worked.
First try, boom.
Boom. Then I went to sleep.
Yep. And the surgery, I got to tell you, March came in with his keys in his hand and his prescription pad
in his pocket
and a frantic look on his face. And was like, "I'll see you." He's like, "I'll see you in about 45 minutes. And then you're going to go to Walgreens. You're going to get the prescription. I'm going to write it. When I come back to see you, you're going to go to Walgreens, put the prescription in. That way when she's done, you can just go right there and pick it up and then go." It's like, okay. And then I moved the car. Because we parked in a metered space again, this time at Pacific Surgery Center, and or Surgery Center of the Pacific, whatever. And you know, I stopped at 7-Eleven while you're in surgery. Had a great time.
Mm.
Had a Quest bar, and came back in, and I was like, "Oh, I gotta kill some time now." I sit down, and a minute after I sat down, doctor came out with pictures of your uterus.
Yeah, we have like really nice color photos of the progression of the removal of the fibroid.
Yeah, that he hand annotated to while he was sitting there with me.
He's a character.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, everything with the surgery went great. The actual surgery went great.
It went amazing. She didn't have to have a balloon.
Didn't have to have a balloon.
No stint.
Nothing.
And you know, this apparently word on the street is this doctor is very good and people fly from all over.
Yeah.
According to a nurse.
Yeah. No, it's true. Someone in the Facebook group came from Maryland.
Oh, really?
Yes. To have surgery from Dr. March.
It's amazing.
He's like the leading uterine surgeon in the country.
Wow.
Yeah.
Bet he does all right.
Yeah. He's a sweet pet in Glendale.
I bet he does. And, you know, the Yankees fan. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Can't be all good.
So yeah. And you know, it was really nice. Like everyone in the Facebook group was like saying like on Monday, they were like, "Dory, hope your surgery went well. Like thinking of you." And I just like, I can't go into this whole thing right now. It's just too much. And so I didn't really respond. And I felt bad. And I was like, "Mate, I hope people don't think that like I had like complications and I like can't respond." Because the surgery was actually on Wednesday.
Saving it for the air, huh?
Saving it for the air. Thank you to everyone who wished me well, and I very much appreciate it.
Bree, who I work with, who's works out of Doug Robinson's office, she asked me how the surgery went, and I was like, it went very well, but she's fine, and it was pretty crazy, and you'll hear about it on the podcast.
Does she listen to the podcast? Yes. Oh, that's so nice.
So there you go.
There you go.
We're both saving it for the air.
Yeah, someone sent me flowers and chocolate.
Uh-huh.
Someone else sent me chicken soup.
Yes. It was an amazing...
It's very sweet.
That was when I thought you were being murdered on the Ring Video doorbell.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So that all happened. Mm-hmm. And I go in for a follow-up next week with Dr. Beck.
Probably next Friday, right?
I think they said next
because he said I'll see you in 10 days.
I know, but then when I called, CFP, they were like, "No, your follow up's going to be with Dr. Beck."
Mm. Okay.
So I don't know, but yeah, I mean, it was like the whole thing was exhausting, and I was already stressed out about it. We talked last week about how I was already anxious and stressed out about it. And then it became approximately 1,000 times more stressful.
Yes. It was really a remarkable series of events. And just, it has been an exhausting week.
Yeah.
You know, I know how I feel. And I can only imagine how you feel. So.
Well, I'll tell you how I feel, which is that Friday night, trying to like be more social and, you know, not be like mopey at home and be like, I have no friends. So Friday night I was like, there was a coworker's birthday party, mm-hmm. and I was like, I'm going to go. It's going to be great. And then Friday came, I went to Pilates.
That's good.
I got home from Pilates and I was like, I'm pretty tired. And she had said that she was going to get to the bar at 9. So like, I obviously wasn't going to show up before her. I was like, all right, 9's the earliest I could get there. I was like, pretty tired. And then I was like, I'm not going to make it to this party. And then at 9:30, I got into bed.
That's crazy.
And read. And at 9:45, I know this because I was like, what time is it? No, it's 9:45. I turned out the light and I went to sleep.
Envious of that.
That's and you amazing. Played poker.
I did. I played poker. I agreed to, you know, I signed up for the game a week before. So really didn't anticipate that I would be so tired.
Yeah.
And we played till 1 o'clock in the morning, I want to say.
Yeah. At least you didn't lose any money.
That's true. And, the Tuesday game, of which I had to wake up at 4:45 in the morning. I got home at 2.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Wait, no. You said you stopped playing at 12:40.
We stopped at 12:40. I probably got home at 1:30. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
You know me. I go right to sleep as soon as I get home. So. That was a brutal alarm.
It was.
That was a brutal alarm.
It sure was. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I don't ever want to do that again.
We'll probably have to.
This is why I don't want a kid. Earth-shattering news for Matt and Dory's Excellent Adventure listeners. I hate tiny increments of sleep. Hate with a passion.
That's going to be a problem.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, I don't love them either.
It's the thing I'm least looking forward to as a parent.
Yeah.
As a potential parent.
Yeah.
Is the sleep pattern.
Yeah.
Oh, but boy.
But, you know, not... I mean...
If you'd like to volunteer to be a free night nurse, give us a call at 413-461-BABY.
Subject line, night nurse.
All right. So, anything else to say about our crazy week?
No, just that I'm glad it's over.
Great.
Yeah.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes. Nice
dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about UnitedHealthcare coverage at UH1.com. That's UH1.com.
Hey, I'm going to ask you a question. How's your sock drawer looking? Is it scary? Maybe it's time for a spring cleaning and refresh. Bombas just dropped a bunch of absurdly soft new socks, tees, and underwear to help you get that drawer in a better place while doing a little bit of good. Look, when I open up my sock drawer and I see a clean pair of Bombas sitting on top, not only do my feet sort of jump for joy, but like, I can't wait to get them on my feet because I know they're going to be cozy. I know they're going to be the best socks in the house. And I know that they're going to keep me going all day long. They've got some great details that have been obsessed over, including the honeycomb arch support, which I love. Anti-blister tabs, which I also love. What that is, it's a little bit of the heel that goes up a little, just a smidge higher. Like in a, whatever the perfect amount higher is, that's how high it goes. Bombas has figured this out. And they've got cushioned footbeds that feel like little pillows on your feet. Not to mention the buttery soft tees and underwear with no itchy tags. Oh, I hate an itchy tag. And Bombas is like, don't worry about it. We do too. And look, the best thing about Bombas is that when you purchase an item, Bombas donates an item. That's right. Every time you buy their socks, tees, or underwear, you're also donating essential clothing to someone facing homelessness. To date, Bombas has donated over 100 million clothing items and counting. I mean, Bombas can make returns easy as well. I don't know why you'd return anything because what? But they do have a 100% happiness guarantee. So if the dryer or your dog eats a sock, or if you're unhappy with your purchase for virtually any reason, they'll do whatever they can to replace it and make it right. Bombas has a spring collection out right now. That means new colors and new fun. That's right. They have garden party socks that bring the party to your feet. They got stripes. They got florals. They've got vintagey colored rib socks. You know, those like, you know, stripes on the top of it. It's like, oh, hey, look at me. I'm a vintage soccer player or track person. They've got those too. And they even have a new pointelle sock with a frilly cuff. You know, if for all you frill seekers out there, folks, all I'm saying is you heard me talk about Bombas for years now. I don't know why you haven't done anything about it. Get comfy this spring and give back with Bombas. Head over to bombas.com/adventure and use the code adventure for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/adventure. Use the code adventure at checkout. Trust me, your feet will thank you.
Dory's going to kill me.
I'm going to kill him. Matt is really
real piece of work.
Really pushing my buttons these days.
It's an off-air button pushing, guys.
Oh, boy.
We
so
do it, too.
We heard from a bunch of people about all the stuff we talked about last week about naming, Jewish naming conventions.
Sounds like a next conference. To Comic-Con.
The Jewish naming convention.
Yeah, the weekend after at the San Diego Convention Center is the Jewish naming convention.
Yeah, so
Yitzi.
We heard from Chana.
Tova.
No, we heard from Chana.
I'm being a guy at the naming convention.
Okay. Who wanted to clarify a few things. She said she's writing to clarify about the evil eye. You mentioned that it knows that you have a baby coming and it kills the baby. I think that's a paraphrase. In reality, it's not a boogie monster at all. In Judaism, we're taught to be grateful for the privileges and blessings in our lives. Showing off one's blessings is considered distasteful.
Get the memo, everyone.
Flaunting one's blessings in front of others can elicit feelings of shame and embarrassment in them if they haven't received those blessings. Pregnancy is a huge blessing, so many keep it quiet for this reason, but it's by no means a Jewish law to do so, just a custom. I feel like Facebook should get wind of this. About baby names, the issue that Matt brought up, there's an Ashkenazi Eastern European custom to name after deceased relatives as a way of honoring their lives and memories. Now, since I'm 98.6% Ashkenazi.
Yeah, that's true.
This is a custom of mine.
Mm-hmm.
Matt also mentioned a possible issue with choosing a baby name that a relative recently used for their own baby.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't mean to imply that that was a Jewish thing at all. That was just a thing.
Is that just a Dory thing?
That's just a Dory thing.
Understood. Go ahead.
Chana says, actually, this is a very common practice. When an elderly patriarch, matriarch of the family dies, it's quite beautiful to see grandchildren and great-grandchildren born and named after the person. You even have cousin clubs of cousins that are all named after the same relative.
Oh.
So we could have a Sam.
That sounds great.
He'd just be Sam Myra instead of Sam Shafrir.
Sam Mayday Myra.
Mayday?
Mayday Malone.
Oh, yeah. Hope to clear up some misconceptions. Thank you again for opening up and sharing your journey. Sending hugs and blessings from Brooklyn. Good Shabbos. I think she sent that on Friday.
That's great.
Yeah. So thank you, Chana. We also got a couple voicemails about this. I'm gonna play one of them.
Okay.
Right now. Okay.
Hey, Matt and Dory. This is Jenny in Atlanta. And while I live in the South, I still identify as a Midwesterner. Just want to make that clear up front. So I love your podcast. I've been listening to it since the start. I'm about a year and a half into IVF world, but very little IVF has actually taken place because I keep needing to have body parts removed. So I'm down.
Sounds familiar.
Down an ovary, down a fallopian tube, and about to be down another fallopian tube in August. So I'm feeling you during this week of your surgery, wishing you all the best, wishing you lots of bland deliciousness after it all goes well.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So I finally thought of a question after listening to your episode this week. I have had lots of questions come up and thought about writing in or calling in, but then someone in the Facebook group or someone would call in and ask the very same question and all the answers would become clear.
Great.
But after you all were talking about naming conventions in the Jewish and Catholic faith, I finally thought of one that I wanted your opinion on. So my husband and I are in a heated debate if this baby thing ever happens, what we will name our kid. I love the idea, you know, as a Jenny, born Jennifer, I love the idea of having like a formal fancy name with a nickname that you go by.
Yeah.
And my husband is of the thought that if you want to call the child the nickname, just name it the nickname.
No.
But it's not as adorable then. So this is the ongoing debate in our house. An example being Henry, calling it Hank, him, I guess that would be a boy.
Yeah.
And my husband's like, no, we're just going to name it Hank. Like, come on. So we very heated, very upsetting. We have long walks around Atlanta debating this, and there is no end in sight. So
I hope
chances are, if after this next surgery and after a frozen transfer, there's an infant, it will take years and years. This kid will be like 16 before we can actually put a name on the birth certificate. So would love your thoughts on naming a kid the nickname you want to call it versus like a longer formal name. I'm sure there will be some hot thoughts on this from you all and from your listeners. So anyway, thanks so much. Look forward to seeing you, Dory, at the Decatur Book Festival. Depending on the status of the contents of our uteri, when you're here, we'd love to grab a drink with you. And any other listeners who are around, I'll see you at Leon's on the Decatur Square. Thanks. Bye.
When is that?
Labor Day weekend.
I forgot.
Yeah.
Bo, what are we going to do while Mom's gone?
Las Vegas.
What? Oh, Bo.
You're taking him to Vegas?
I'm going to take Bo to the Vidara, the dog-friendly hotel in Vegas, and lose my deposit because he tears apart a hotel room.
Well, and he like eats someone in the elevator.
Yeah. I was going to say that I like to imagine that since they're in Atlanta, constantly walking around Atlanta, there's like a shot of them in Avengers Infinity War where they're background extras, but they're just walking by.
Oh, well,
arguing about baby names.
What I was thinking was, God, that must be hot.
Yeah, it must be. I mean, you know, Atlanta's not always hot. There's a couple months a year where it's very nice. So here, as a Matt, who is a Matthew, full name. What are you doing?
Well, let me tell you this.
Oh, boy. Here she goes.
I often get asked if Dory is short for anything.
Yes, that's true. You do get asked that.
Yep.
Is it?
No.
Correct.
That's my whole point.
What is the name you're named after?
Dora.
And why Dory?
Who the F knows?
Doesn't make any sense.
You know, I think at the time they thought Dora was too old-fashioned.
Uh-huh.
But now I feel like everyone has old-fashioned names.
Yes.
Although it would have been annoying with Dora the Explorer.
Well, now you're Dory.
Now I'm Dory the fucking fish. Dory.
You were not going to win either
way. Now I'm Ellen DeGeneres.
Yep. So, yeah. Although I do like the name of Hank.
You know, I knew...
But just name it Henry.
I knew a great dog named Hank.
Oh, I bet you did.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I don't know. I do think it's like... Sometimes people...
Adam's assistant is named Hank. Hank Johnson.
That's a very like...
Yep. It is.
Hanky name.
I'm going to ask him tomorrow if it's Henry or just Hank. I'm going to get to the bottom of
this. Do you think anyone named Hank ever gets called Hanky?
Ugh, probably.
That would be annoying.
Yes, it would be.
Or Honk.
Honk and Frank.
Yeah, I guess... I lean towards formal name plus nickname, but I also think sometimes people like kind of just want to have it both ways. And they're like, I'm going to name my kid this like formal name. And then he's going to have this completely unrelated nickname.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's,
but you know, you don't always get to choose your kid's nicknames.
That's true. Sometimes they just happen
like Sugar,
like young Dylan becoming Pickle.
Like Dylan becoming Pickle and like my brother becoming Sugar.
Yes.
And his name is Michael.
A name which I refuse to ever use.
I mean...
Thank God he got his fish tickets, everybody.
He's gone to so many fish shows in the last week.
Did he tell you how he got them?
No.
He used Starwood points.
What?
Yes.
That's a thing you can do?
There's a Starwood suite, apparently.
Oh, my God.
I know.
How many points was that?
It was a lot of points. I was like, that seems like a lot of points. He's like, I hate to use them for things like that, but it's free food and drink while you're there in the suite. I was like, all right.
Also, like, now that he has two kids, he's probably not, like, he's not going that many places
right.
with the Starwood points.
So, if you're at the Madison Square Garden show, say hi to Michael, a.k.a. Sugar.
Yep. You can call him either one.
He'll answer to both.
His weirdly. Son now calls him Michael on occasion.
Interesting.
His 2-year-old son.
Uh-huh. Do you want to do another voicemail or pop into an email?
Well, we heard from a couple of people. We put out the egg signal last week for the infertile lesbians.
We did, yes.
And we got a voicemail about that that I would like to play.
Let's hear it.
Okay.
Hi, Matt and Dory. This is Karen from North Carolina calling. I was calling. I just listened to the voicemail or email from V in the episode about going from infertility to adoption. While I'm a lesbian, my husband and I tried for 4 years. We did 5 or 6 rounds of IVF transfers. Obviously, none of it worked. And we ended up adopting. We just adopted our second infant from the United States 3 months ago, and she's great. Anyway, I did want to say a few things about the transition. Adoption is just as expensive and just as emotionally a roller coaster as IVF. So you won't get to get rid of any of those things, but it is a lot easier on your body. You don't have to pump yourself full of hormones and you can at least feel better about doing it that way. I will also say, unfortunately, of course, it never takes away the sadness and the grief you feel from not being able to have your own biological children, but whatever you believe in, I believe there's a plan. And unfortunately, for better or worse, these kids that we have adopted are totally me and my husband's kids. They act like us, like I said, for better or worse. And I think it's meant to be. So while adoption, doesn't erase all that grief from infertility, it's still a pretty great thing. So I wish her luck, and I didn't have any podcast or anything that I listened to, but if anyone comes up with one, I would love to hear about it. And good luck with everything. Thanks. Bye.
I'm assuming she's asking specifically about adoption podcasts.
Yeah. Remember, B asked if there were any adoption podcasts you should listen to.
That's a Good question.
That's a good.
Yes.
Good report from the front.
Completely agree with that. The fact that that's a good report.
And
now this is from Hollis on the same subject. Yes. To Matt's point about B's wife possibly carrying the child, I have two thoughts. Before going into any of this, my wife and I, as I assume most queer couples do, talked about all the options available to us as a couple with two uteri.
Uteruses.
Yes, I know, but I'm like,
you said uterus.
I jumped to uteri.
Mm.
My eyes read ahead, and now I'm thinking, is that the plural of uterus? I'll say yes.
Okay.
And four ovaries, two of those ovaries being much younger than mine. Ultimately, we landed on this. We would like two children. If I was able to conceive and carry child number one to term, then my wife would try IUI, possibly IVF, with our donor sperm, so we'd have two kids who are half-siblings. For me, as any only child whose mother recently died.
As an only child.
Oh, as any. I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
As an only child whose mother recently died, it was the genetics of my family that were more important to pass on than actually being pregnant. And my old eggs don't have a better shot in her young uterus. So this also rules out donor embryos. If I can't get pregnant, we will adopt two children. So endometriosis aside, if B has a low AMH of 0.2 and wants a biological child that has her own genetics, how much would it really improve their odds to put her bun in the wife's oven? I'm not sure. We also don't know her wife's AMH or fertility stats to compare them. Excellent point. Number two, one thing we don't know is how B's wife identifies on a gender spectrum or how she presents. I know a lot of gender queer or masculine of center people who are extremely uncomfortable with some areas of their bodies, and many of them don't even get their yearly exams because they've had such horrific experiences in the gynecologists and other medical professionals. That's in quotes, professionals. There is such little knowledge and compassion among many doctors regarding the queer community, and frankly, we're usually left out of research and studies for even the most basic things, such as HPV transmission, that it is a real issue to get quality medical care to the queer community. And many have been very traumatized by doctors in the past. If a person has been traumatized in that way, they would have to relive that trauma over and over again with the amount of sonograms, tests, etc. that go along with IVF. So B, as far as adoptions, blogs, podcast resources, I haven't done a ton of research yet, but there is a podcast called Creating a Family that covers both adoption and IVF podcasts. The production quality is subpar, not anymore. It's definitely no Excellent Adventure, she says. But their most recent episode is called Talk About Infertility and Adoption. Also, my wife and I were shocked when we were unable to find a subreddit for queer conception, so we started one. Oh, that's good. And you may be able to find comfort in others experiencing what you have there. It's called Queer Conception. It's reddit.com/r/queerconception. All one word? I'm sorry. It's queerception.
Oh, my God.
I'm the worst at reading
today.
Wow,
you cannot read.
I would like to say, is this from
Hollis?
Hollis. I was saying to Dory, I had not worn my glasses all day. My eyes were getting tired, and I was like, right before we started, I was like, I'm going to go get my glasses. I got to be able to read. So I want to apologize for mangling the email so badly. Here it is. This subreddit is called Queerception, which is a much better name than what I said. Mm-hmm. So reddit.com/r/queerception. That's QUEERCEPTION. You can also search Instagram for the hashtag lesbiansTTC.
Oh, a little hashtag tip.
There you go. Like I said, B, I know your journey is not like is not just like yours. Oh my God!
I know our
journey.
I'm doing better reading this upside down.
Here's the situation right now, Hollis. This is what it's like to be on a team, as I'm sure you know. Dory is now going to finish reading.
Like I said, B, I know our journey is not just like yours.
So much better.
We've been able to try a few times and you may not have had that chance. So I don't want to pretend to know what you're going through. But struggling with infertility on top of being gay is definitely not something you're alone in.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Great sentiment.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bad reader, Matt Myra.
So, yeah. We're going
to
read.
Jumping down to another email.
I'm jumping down to another email.
All right.
This is from Marissa. I've been listening to your podcast for the past 4 or 5 months on the recommendation of a friend that I will mention later in this email, and love that you are making infertility a subject to be talked about out in the open. The stigma is ridiculous, and you two are chipping away at that. Your podcast has definitely made me feel less alone in this extremely alienating process. My husband and I have been trying to conceive for the past 4 years. I had surgery on my cervix to have some pretty aggressive cancer, yay HPV, removed. This left my cervix A, barely there, and B, what's left of it is completely scarred shut, like smaller than a pinhole-sized opening to get to my womb. I had another surgery to try and open up my cervix with two gynecological surgeons with no luck. We were subsequently turned away from our first fertility clinic as a hopeless case.
Wow.
Depressed and heartbroken, we were going to give up, then decided to get a second opinion from the fertility clinic next door to my office. Free parking. That is good. A bonus. They did a hysteroscopy and were able to penetrate my cervix and later retrieve 26 eggs, which gave us 6 PGS normal embryos, 3 boys and 3 girls.
Incredible.
We did one fresh cycle with a boy, which unfortunately did not work. We immediately did a second frozen cycle with another boy. Can you tell we want a boy? Adding in lipid transfusions. Ever heard of that? It's like fat infusions to suppress your natural killer cells. And acupuncture. Again, the round failed. Our doctor suggested trying a surrogate as the transfers with me weren't working. We think due to the difficulty / trauma of getting past my rock hard cervix to transfer. Ooh. We had already spent so much on treatment so far that going through an agency for surrogacy would be a cost we could not afford. One drunken pub crawl night, my best friend from kindergarten, aforementioned podcast recommender, was hugging me, saying how unfair it was that we weren't able to have children and that she wanted to carry our baby. I told her to think about it, to talk about it with her husband, and that we should probably talk about it sober. Well, we did all that, saw a family therapist together. Matt is fanning himself.
Very hot.
It is. But
I got to tell you, you would not be having surgery in this house right now.
That's no, how hot it is. I would not. I mean, we can turn on the air, but you can hear it.
That's okay.
We did all that, saw family therapist together, signed a 37-page contract, started Lupron, estrogen, and progesterone, and transferred our last boy on May 23rd, about 8 months after drunk convo. She is now 12 weeks pregnant with our son.
Amazing.
Who we currently refer to as Sugar.
Whoa.
Named by our surrogate's daughter. Okay, that's weird.
Crazy.
All I have to say is science is truly amazing that we even have this option, and having a selfless friend who would literally do anything for us has given us an opportunity we otherwise wouldn't have. I am sad that my body will not see a pregnancy, but seeing how smoothly everything goes when your body cooperates is a miracle. I know you're still early in your journey, but if you ever decide to go the surrogacy route, know that the option is there and it's a beautiful one. Keep podcasting and don't give up. Love you both.
Thanks.
That is an amazing story.
We got to find someone to carry for us.
Well, I was just telling you that a few weeks ago I ran into a friend who I hadn't seen in a while.
She was also drunk, though.
She was drunk.
Interesting.
But she was like, how is it going? And I told her, you know, I caught her up on everything, and she was like, I will totally carry your baby. And I was like, wow, like, that's extremely generous of you. Thank you. And she's like, no, I'm completely serious. I will carry your baby. I love being pregnant. My boyfriend loves pregnant women. And I was like, okay.
Sounds stable.
She has a kid. So, you know, I guess I could revisit that with her if she...
Sure.
If it comes to that. I hope it won't now that they've fixed my septum.
They have indeed.
They have indeed fixed my septum. So
theoretically, I mean, we're going to go back for the follow up and find out what happened, but we got some great color photos, guys.
Yeah. No, but that's amazing. Like I that's amazing to have a friend like that.
Truly. I mean, it's, I'm thrilled you guys are having success so far with this pregnancy, and I'm glad it's working out, and I'm glad you have a friend who drinks and, also, doesn't drink during a pregnancy.
Yeah. I'm going to play another.
Tell Sugar we said hi.
So many sugars. Mm-hmm. I'm going to play another voicemail.
All right.
Sorry, adjusting the volume. Okay.
Hi, Matt and Jory. This is Carrie calling from Boston. I've been listening for a while, and just wanted to thank you guys so much for your honesty and your vulnerability and all that comes along with this process. I think, you know, though sometimes talking about parking spaces is onerous, it really, the pace of this podcast really does represent the true pace of what IVF, of the reality of IVF for most of us. So I think that there's real honesty in that. And so thanks for sticking with us throughout the status quo and the less than status quo moments. I was just calling to let you guys know how sorry I am to hear about this new twist in your, or the shifting of the goalpost. I think our quick stats on us, we have old eggs and dumb sperm as well, and we've been trying for 3 years. We've had 3 failed IUIs, 2 rounds of IVF that resulted in 3 normal PGS normal embryos, and then actually 1 failed, 1 PGS normal embryo failed in our last transfer. So
we're
actually having an ERA biopsy in the next 2 weeks, or rather this week. And so kind of the same general boat. I'm 35. My husband is 40. Anyway, guys, just wanted to say thanks and hang in there.
I feel you on how emotionally
raw this is, and just, you know, appreciate all the honesty you guys are bringing to this process. I think documenting it in real time is it's a pretty powerful gift to give to people who are going through this, and we're all with you, and you know, just no question other than stick with it, and sending you guys a lot of love. All right, Matt, I hope you have a great trip to Boston in a little while. We'd love to welcome you. The weather just got nice here, and yeah. All right, guys, take care. Hang in. Bye.
We hit the good weather week.
We did.
I laughed in the middle of that because I just thought about her talking about this in real time, and like, just, I know we've sort of touched on it before, but it is very strange that this, you know, if we have a child, it will be able to go back and listen to this.
Yeah. Like, I hope they never do.
No, I mean, it's crazy. I hope that'd be like amazing, I think, for them to like hear their parents in their vibrant youth.
Yeah.
You know, before their dad lost all that weight.
How's that going, by the way?
So 5 o'clock in the morning. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, let's talk
Monday
about 5
morning,
a.m.
It worked. We didn't even talk about that on the top of the... So, Dory's surgery...
Oh, that's right.
...was day one of me getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning. Unfortunately, Dory could not go back to sleep after my alarm went off.
Yeah.
And she was mad at herself for allowing me to set
the alarm. Oh, yeah, we totally forgot about that.
Completely forgot about the fact that you're up since 5 o'clock without food.
Yeah. Also, you didn't work out at 5.
Yeah, what happened was I came out here... And
here meaning the living room.
Here out here in the living room where we record the podcast, and fell asleep on the couch.
So you didn't really get up at 5.
Did Bo come out?
No.
Bo stayed in the bedroom
with me as I was tossing and turning.
It was bad.
Trying to fall back
asleep. Didn't work out well, but I did do yoga, right?
No. You didn't.
Did I do it afterwards?
Not on Monday.
I did it afterwards.
Yeah, I think you did it afterwards. But you did come to the conclusion that you don't actually have to wake up at 5.
Yeah, I think 5 o'clock is crazy. I can actually get up at 6:30 and get everything done.
Yeah.
So 5 o'clock, hour and a half early, ridiculous.
Yeah.
Whatever. Week one of the diet went pretty well. I'm doing slow carb, which is extensively covered in Tim Ferriss's book, The 4-Hour Body, which I'm looking at on the bookshelf right there, right next to Bill James' Baseball Prospectus, which is an amazing baseball book. I had a cheat day yesterday where I consumed 3,800 calories.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Rest of the week, I'm right around 1,700 a day.
That's not very many.
Pretty high. That's what I'm supposed to, that's according to my fitness pal, that's what I should be having.
I think that's too low for you.
Do you think I should bump it up to 1,750?
No, I think you should bump it up to like 1,900.
Anyway.
You don't want to eat too little.
I know. I think that's always been my problem when I'm trying to diet. I end up eating too little.
I think you're eating too little.
Anyway. As of yesterday before the cheat day, I was down about 3 pounds for the week.
Great.
Had the cheat day.
Mm-hmm.
Put on 2.
Okay.
Which is great result for a cheat day. It'll probably be gone tomorrow.
Great.
And then I start, you know, the week over.
Okay.
So anyway, that's the update on my weight loss, future child.
I'm going to play a related voicemail.
If you're listening to this, future child, and it's after I've died, I want you to know that you were probably worth it.
This is getting really weird.
I just, you know.
No, we are not.
In case future child is listening.
This isn't like an open letter to our future child.
Maybe it is right now.
No, it's not.
First of all, you probably disappointed me at some point.
Oh my God. I'm playing this voicemail. Here we go.
Can't believe you didn't become an Eagle Scout.
Hi, Matt and Dory. It's Laura, the large overweight girl that was hit by a drunk driver. I am very less laughy today, and I really composed myself this time before sending this voicemail.
She was very laughy.
But I just listened to the podcast, and I listened to the email from the lady who suggested PTSD and therapy. I do have a complete psychiatric team that is attending to my needs, both for the weight loss and for just the stress of life and the stress of the car accident. It's really hard just to work through. It gets so emotional sometimes. So I thank her so much. I will look into the hormones and the... Oh, I don't know why I said that so weird. The hormones and the cortisol levels. I don't think that was ever brought up. All right, and I just lost my train of thought. Okay, this is going downhill again. But thank you so much. The support from both Matt and Dory and the listeners has been great. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Thanks, Laura.
Yeah, thanks for checking in.
Laura, if you can reach out to my future child after I've gone, tell it how awesome I was.
This is real weird.
I'm imagining it listening and has headphones on, and it's like looking at a picture of me having just lost me recently. You're alive, Dory. Don't worry about it.
I don't want to go down this road.
But my future child is looking at, and right now in real life, after I've passed and the child is it's grown at this point, but you're still alive and I'm gone. Hears you say, this is so weird, while you actually are in real life or saying, this is so weird. And that's pretty weird.
Okay. I'm going to read an email that is actually not funny.
Oh.
So I would appreciate it if you stopped laughing.
All right.
This is the email that was posted in the Facebook group that I thought was so important that I reached out to the author of the email and asked if we could read it on the air. So here we go. And this is from Kendra. So she says, with our last round of IVF, we didn't have the money to do PGS. We were blessed to have a positive, and as I posted on here last week, we did the genetic blood test at 13 weeks. We got an all clear, 99% accurate for Downs. Therefore, our doctor didn't feel it was necessary to do a fetal scan until the 22nd week, unlike with my first science baby, where it was done at week 13. At week 22, they didn't see a nasal bone, but no one worried because I had a negative screening test. Came back again in a week, 23rd week, and they still couldn't find the nasal bone. So Tuesday, we did an amnio. Wednesday, we found out we were part of that fucking 1% and our son has Downs. Moved to Friday and a cardiac echocardiogram to see if the heart is okay, and our sweet boy's heart has stopped. Ugh. So now I must carry my sweet baby until Thursday when they can have the D&E procedure. After all the hell we went through to have him, and now I have to know he is in me no longer growing and moving is just about killing me. Long and short is, if you get the blood test and get a negative, demand a level 2 fetal ultrasound right away. Doctors today rely too much on the blood test, and it is not 100%. We need to be our own advocates, and in the whole IVF process, I think we try, but then once we get a positive, some may think you've made it through the worst. I found out there is worse. I'm so wishing everyone an amazing positive and strength, she says. And yeah, so, you know, I followed up with her, and, you know, she was just saying that she feels like it's so important just to be aware of this, because they had a false sense of security because they did all these tests and the doctors just did what they do. And she wishes she had followed her gut. And she offered her email to anyone who wants to connect with her. So if you would like to be connected to Kendra, please feel free to reach out and I will pass along your contact info. So Kendra, we are so sorry that this happened. This is a very sad situation and we are wishing you the best.
Yeah, Dory and I were talking about this when we first saw on the Facebook page, and it was, we couldn't even imagine.
Yeah. So,
but you are in all of our thoughts and we are here for you.
Yep.
As I think are the rest of the listeners.
Yep.
All the eggheads.
Indeed. So I feel like that's kind of a sad note. So I'm going to read this other email.
Okay.
Do you think that's weird?
To read another email now?
Yeah. Or do you think we should just end with this?
I think it's a nice, we're exhaling on Kendra. We're thinking about Kendra.
Okay.
And we can hit another email, sure.
Okay. This is an update.
Okay.
From Alyssa.
Uh-huh.
The woman who thought she was a fraternal twin but turned out to be an identical twin. Remember her?
Yeah, I do.
She said, I wish I could answer the questions about why the fact that we were identical twins was in doubt for so long, but my mother was vague when I asked her. She said she always thought we were identical and was annoyed the doctors kept saying differently. We had our own sacs and placentas, but given that happens in a quarter of identical births as well, it seems a poor indicator of zygosity. We were born 17 minutes apart, which is a pretty long gap between twins, but didn't seem like proof of anything. I do remember the orthodontist of all people comparing our skull x-rays when we were getting braces and saying our skull structures were too different to be identical twins. After spending 6 years as a bone biologist, though, oh, that's cool, I now know many of the differences in our head shapes could have been a result of environmental factors. Whoa, really?
Mm.
That's crazy.
Tight helmets?
It may just be that 37 years ago, science knew less and they made certain assumptions that they shouldn't have. Thank goodness for this brave new world of genetic testing.
Wow.
That's crazy. And
Alyssa, send a photo of you and your twin.
You're really invested in this.
I just need to like take a look and tell you whether or not it's reasonable that anyone doubted it.
All right. I'm going to play one more voicemail.
Sure.
Hi, Matt and Dory. This is Christopher Finney, just giving you guys a call. I'm sitting on the rooftop terrace at Cleveland Clinic overlooking the downtown skyline of Cleveland. I've been getting some fresh air for my recovery. I have my second stage of my colorectal surgery on past Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Went actually very well.
Mm-hmm.
I've been on Dilaudid, but I haven't been taking that for a while. So I just stopped taking it. So now I'm just taking the Oxy, or it's liquid Oxy. They're calling it Roxy, but whatever. Been taking that and looking at going home, seeing once I get my output down, and you know, just figured I'd call and say hello and nice. Thank you guys. Matt, you'll appreciate this. Is when I had my surgery, they gave me a nerve block, and of course that wore off about 24 hours later. And when it did, it felt like I had been beaten in the stomach repeatedly by baseball bats.
Yeah.
So it was a lovely, lovely feeling.
Uh-huh.
Of course, I felt horrible because there's a kid in this room with me who just had his first round of surgery, and then when he saw how bad I was, it's like, oh shit, and he terrified of me. But yeah, I just want to call him again. Thank you guys for everything. And it might just be the fact that I'm the Oxy's kicking in, but
nice.
To all the people that complain about not hearing enough IVF stuff, fuck them. That's your story, and your story isn't just about IVF. So if you just talk about IVF, it's not really a story. It's just a freaking medical journal, basically.
That's
so
true.
Yeah.
Keep on doing what you guys are doing. You're absolutely awesome. I love you both dearly, and I wish you the best.
Well, bye-bye. Thank you. And we wish you the best.
Sorry about your butt.
Oh.
That's what my, if I were to write a card to you, that's what it would say.
Oh, that's
also,
so nice.
That is a, you know, when you have surgery like that, to that feeling when the pain meds are gone.
That can't be fun.
Ugh. It feels like a truck has run over you. It's insane.
Ugh.
It is insane. It's really not a fun time.
No.
But glad he's doing well, and glad they let him up on the roof.
Yeah. Christopher, I hope your recovery is going well. And I lied. There was one more voicemail I wanted to play.
Oh, boy.
Got a lot of voicemails this week, which I love.
413-461 baby.
And you can also,
is that right?
Yes. You can also, you finally memorized it. You can also leave us bonus episode voicemails. Just say that it's for the bonus episode.
Oh yeah. If you have any questions for us that aren't necessarily related to IVF, by all means, please ask them for the bonus episode. We're gonna be putting out a full episode on the regular feed. Full bonus episode. If you'd like to hear half hour bonus episodes, you can head over to Patreon.com something something adventure
/ excellent adventure.
There you go.
We're gonna be recording this month's Patreon bonus episode tonight.
No.
Okay.
We're recording it tomorrow night.
We're recording it tomorrow night,
and it will go up tomorrow night.
It will go up tomorrow night. And I think we're gonna do the thing next month where we're gonna lower the dollar amount for the bonus episode.
Great.
To $10, and then everyone at the $25 level and above will get two bonus episodes.
Sounds like a lot of work, but
yep.
Here we are.
But we do it for our eggheads.
Here's a voicemail.
Okay.
Hi, Matt and Dory. This is Laura. I live in Michigan, and I love your podcast. I am not currently trying
accent.
To have any more children, but I just kind of stumbled upon it, and I love it. And I love the support that everyone is giving each other in the Facebook group. The reason why I'm calling is I wanted to thank Matt personally for mentioning Dan Bell's YouTube channel because I didn't know about it before, and it's awesome. So thank you, and I'm totally addicted now. So good luck to you guys on what you're going through, and just keep doing what you're doing. We love it.
You are. You're very well.
Hi, Matt. What is happening?
Hi, Matt and Dory.
You're really just plowing through it.
Sorry, everyone.
Yeah, I cannot tell you enough how great I think Dan Bell is, and how great his stuff is. And I think he was written up in the New York Times very recently.
Yeah, you were really ahead of the curve on that.
I feel like I was the flashpoint for Dan Bell, and you're welcome, America.
Just you want to remind everyone what Dan Bell does?
He makes videos on YouTube. His YouTube channel. This is Dan Bell, and the primary thing he's been doing has been it's called the Dead Mall series, where he goes to malls that are essentially dying, and that you know there may be six stores in a mall that used to have 150 stores, and he walks through the malls and videos and talks about the history of the mall and what happened, why it ended up closing, when the big anchor stores closed, so on and so forth. He also does another one where he visits disgusting motels you can check into. Him and a couple other guys, and they go through the hotel like it's an episode of Hotel Impossible.
Does Anthony Mercuro know about this?
I mean, he should. yeah, Dan Bell. Check it out. Go to YouTube. Check it out. Check out Dan Bell.
We're going to do names again next week.
We are?
Yep.
Okay.
And I think that's about it.
Great.
Yeah.
Great job, podcast.
Thanks, everyone. Email us. Call us.
Thanks.
We love you.
Thanks so much, future child.
Oh, my God.
Thanks for listening to your old man.
He's never going to stop now.
Don't forget, sprinkle some of my ashes on Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, my God.
What?
Stop. This is so creepy.
It's very weird.
Yes, it's very
And now
weird.
It exists in perpetuity.
Yes, I know.
For this future child.
Who I'm never telling about this podcast.
I will tell them about it daily.
Oh, God.
So thanks for listening to this podcast, Regina Myra.
I gotta go.
or Falcor Myra. And this is just a wetter
version of the sky. Turn this off.
Bye.
Let's get a silver bullet trailer and have a baby boy. I'll safety pin this clothes all cool and you'll graffiti up your